Bring it minimal in, Scott.
Okay, minimal in. Okay, guys, wonderful. As our friends on Zoom are getting let in and all that sort of stuff, we have a quorum, and I understand Katie is on Zoom. Katie, are you there?
Hold on, Scott. Katie's there.
Okay, good. And Stacy's there too, and then we've got some teachers with us.
That's correct.
Okay, cool.
You're live.
All right, wonderful, everyone. Good evening, good seeing you. And as always, we have the agenda. Both the agenda and the minutes have been published in time for the meeting. Please note that agenda items may not be considered in sequence. Agenda is subject to change. Changes may include the addition or deletion of items, including executive sessions. As always, we begin with a moment of silence. Thank you, guys. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Motion.
I got a motion. I got a second. I got a second. Wonderful. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Zoom? Katie?
Hold on, Scott. I'm just having issues with this. They said they can't hear.
That's usually not.
That is. Can you hear now, guys?
With me?
Okay. They got it. It was me.
All right. So Katie, we just approved the minutes. Are you good? Just give him a thumbs up or a...
She's good.
Good, roger that. All right, wonderful. All right, guys, I don't have any special guests or any committee members. The minutes have been presented. Do I have any additions, changes to the minutes as presented?
No.
I don't see any.
Jim?
No, not this time.
I made it. Oh. Actually got the minutes done.
He said at this time.
All right, wonderful. All right, guys. Seeing no additions, corrections, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
I got a motion. I got a second.
Second.
Got a second. Any discussion? Right, seeing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Nays? I don't care. Good. Passed. Wonderful. All right, guys. We are now to our public comment period, as always, and I understand we've got a number of our wonderful staff, teachers on the Zoom, and I guess what I need to understand is, one, who's going to be talking, if everyone is, and guys, we do have a couple of requirements. First, that during public comment, we limit everybody's comments to 2 minutes. You may be extended to additional amendment at the call of the chair.
Me.
I ask that you keep your comments succinct, obviously, and to the point. And finally, you may or may not hear any reaction from the board. You may not see any movement from any of us here, and we may not take action depending on what you all are going to be presenting and talking about. And with that, I think we're ready to go. And Pat, who's first up?
Okay, I've unmuted you all, or allowed you to unmute yourself, so if anybody would like to go first.
Is it okay if I go first?
Yes, Paul. It's Paul Carter.
I just wanted to ask the board if they would consider sticking with our current schedule for one more market period, just kind of based on the height of the flu season coming on, and with the holiday season coming up, there's going to be increased travel and parties probably that staff and cadets attend. Also with the winter, there's going to be an increase in indoor time and activity for everyone. Also, with the new schedule, 100% schedule. It's going to be a huge increase in sanitizing measures that schools are going to need to do. And then also the fact that the administration has already worked pretty hard to set up the groups amongst the classes that are kind of like bubbles, and the contact tracing is in place. So I was just wondering if we could consider keeping the current schedule for one more market day until all of these kind of public health factors see themselves out. Other than that, I just also thought it might be a kind of a disruption for the kids who are kind of used to the schedule we have right now. Having a new routine may affect them academically and negatively. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Sure. And I do have a question for Pat. When does the next marking period, and what are we talking about in that?
You're talking about second quarter?
Or second quarter, yeah.
It ends January, mid-January.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right, wonderful. Thank you, Paul. Next. If anyone... Okay, going once, honestly, anybody else on Zoom that would like to offer a comment?
I just wanted to state that I agree with Paul.
Who is that?
I feel like it was very rushed, and although you guys may have been talking about it for a while and we were warned that it might be coming, it just happened so fast. And my main fear, other than the health risk, is that I didn't have enough time to make changes to my lessons or even consider how this should and can change in such a quick turnaround.
Okay. Would you please identify yourself? I'm sorry. I didn't catch
Sarah,
that.
I'm sorry. Sarah Unruh.
All right. Wonderful. And you said quick turnaround and not enough time.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to the health concerns, I know we were told, and we were told that there were three choices, but then all of a sudden it was decided, and it's coming Monday. And I only just feel like we learned about this, as of last Friday? So I have 1 week to completely... Yeah, it's a lot to change in 1 week.
Okay, understood. Right, anyone else?
Scott, there were a couple of teachers, I guess, who they said they couldn't attend, am I muted?
No, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, sorry, yeah, this is Katie Starr. There are a couple of teachers who couldn't attend tonight, but they just wanted me to share some of their concerns, and I know the board, you know that as a teacher on the board, I'm on maternity leave, so I'm not actually in the classroom every day. I don't really see what they're doing, and I just want to read a couple of thoughts that they had. If that's all right.
Yeah, sure, that's all right. Just identify, if you would, which statement you're reading from which of our teachers.
Well, I told them that it would be anonymous so that they could say what they wanted without feeling like they...
Yeah, understood. So let me sort of... Katie?
Some of the teachers... I know there's going to be two options. Some of the teachers would prefer a 33%, the 33% option, that they would choose it because there'd be less bodies on campus. They said 50% is very unwise because of the size of our room and the lack of updated safety. Another person who agreed with that said that it would mean a less chance of exposure and that it would There are a couple of people who like the 50% model. Those teachers have said that they would choose a 50% option because it's closest to the normal schedule and would minimize transitions from our current schedule, and that seeing students twice a week is good for our struggling students and for continuity, and it would make easier to work on projects and get deeper into content. Another staff member who agrees with the 50% option said that they think 50% would benefit the cadets both academically and socially, that cadets want to be in school and have things back to normal, and it would, the 33% they think would set teachers back on their academic plan, as in like, the teachers who prefer the new hybrid, the current hybrid model have said that they, they're concerned that we bring these kids back with no change in safety measures, and this is not about how successful our hybrid model is. This could be the difference between life and death for some people. One person said this seems a little rushed, dangerous, and didn't involve teacher input until now, like until I contacted them. Some teachers have said, I'm concerned about the cleaning that will need to take place between every class and hall duty. Another teacher said, a lot of the comments that were concerns, I've had six different teachers comment about the concern about the cold and flu season. I'll just summarize these because there were five or six people who said almost the same thing. That the cold and flu season and the holiday traveling would affect everyone's safety, and that we don't have a plan if people do get sick. So those are some of the concerns. Other concerns are for our population of of cadets with special education needs, that online learning is not helping them. They need much more teacher time than they're getting, even with the current office hours, and that the seeing them twice a week would be better than the current model, and that summarizes almost everything of what the teacher said.
Okay.
I know Pat has already said that he's going to keep the teacher workday either way, which is good because so far everyone I've contacted has requested that we keep the teacher workday, so it's possible. We have more than half of the staff who contacted me back said that they would prefer, if we do move to a new hybrid schedule, that we wait until after Thanksgiving so that there's more time for teachers to transition from the current schedule to a new schedule, and to allow time for after the holidays when kids have been traveling, for them to be not quarantined, but dissipate the problems that traveling could bring in terms of sickness.
Okay. Is that? Hey, Katie, I think we've got it. I think I understand the bulk of some of the concerns rendered.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very well. With that, we're going to go ahead and close the public comment period.
Scott.
Oh, yes.
I have got a
letter. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have a letter. You want to read it. Thank you, Reggie. Yes, sir.
I got a letter from a parent. Was looking to make a suggestion to the board. So I wanted to, and I just got it. If I'd got it earlier, I would have sent it all year, printed it out and had it. But I just saw it earlier this afternoon, or earlier today, right before it came. So I just want to read this parent's letter to us. It was sent to me as a suggestion to the board. Give me one second, because... so this is from a parent. It says, let me begin by thanking the board the board, administration, and staff of FSMA for their dedication and commitment to their students. I am sure most families share my sentiment of appreciation and gratitude. In today's world of alternate reality, our children are very fortunate to have all of you in their corner. My son was very excited, as was I, to receive a proposed plan for phase two. The vast majority of students shine their brightest when learning in person. The sense of community and camaraderie at FSMA is likely the greatest differentiating factor from other high schools. Unfortunately, it is likely to be the factor most affected by virtual learning. That being said, I understand the frustration of the task before you. Provide an education, keep students and staff safe while adhering to all the guidelines and mandates of the governor and the CDC, which are extensive. May I suggest, given the current madness, that Friday be an active day of learning, that we return to a five-day school week. This additional day would provide further in-school accessibility to students during rotations. When students are only able to attend school 5 to 8 days a month, an additional 2 days would be huge. Adding Friday would not cause a busing issue. It would work for an AB or an ABC group rotation, and they're referring back to our,
right.
our plan.
Yep.
Being that cleaning is to be conducted continually every 15 minutes to 1 hour as per the mandate, there's no need to have a full day of cleaning at the end of the week. I acknowledge that I'm ignorant to many issues that are not transparent to me, but hope that you will consider my suggestion. I have attached a comparison of a 4 day versus 5 day school week for both AB and ABC. The monthly rotations provide 4 weeks of rotation as well as a number of total days in attendance. For AB grouping, Wednesday would fluctuate from week to week. ABC grouping would run in continuation into the next month so that each group receives an equal amount of in-school instruction. I thank you for your time and acknowledgement. Please know that your students and their families support your efforts. And there's an attachment which is showing an example of their how
and
to do it.
You did not, did you tell us who the parent was?
Yes, this was, hang on 1 second. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Tony Ann O'Leary.
Okay. Wonderful. If you would be so kind as to send it to the board and to Pat.
I will.
And thank you.
Okay.
All right, wonderful. All right, that I think now closes our public comment period. And with that, thank you. And certainly, folks on Zoom, certainly stay with us if you wish, or drop off, whatever you so choose. And with that, we're going to continue to move on. Very well. Treasurer's report. Hey, Jim.
I neglected to email it out. So the report, September 30th, summary of the bank balances for all four accounts in aggregate was $305,686.69. The activity for the month was a deposit that made the deposit for the board donation for $500 on the checking account, and on the savings account there was $10.25 worth of interest. And the correction is on 9/1/2020, the $24,948 came out of the savings account to the USDA. So at the end of September, there was a total of $6,172.74 in the checking account and $275,076.20 in the savings account. And there's a supporting backup for all four bank right. statements for the month. I had double-sided for you folks. Okay. And then the last 60-day history for both the checking account and the savings account. So you can see that the USDA took another 24,000 and odd change on this 1st of October of this month, leaving the balance as it stands in the savings account as of today is $250,000 rounding.
Wonderful. Pretty normal guys, and of course the two escrow accounts we have not funded yet, they remain empty. We took some action a number of months ago about not throwing any cash in there until we decided, quite frankly, what we're going to do about that and that, and when I say that and that, the parking lot and the farmhouse and so on and so forth. Anything else, Jim?
No, sir.
Thank you. Wonderful. All right, guys, any questions, comments? Reg?
Make a motion we approve the treasurer's report.
All right, I got a motion to approve. Cool. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion on Treasurer's report? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I heard you that time. Wonderful. Thanks, guys. All right. Moving on, we are into the finance report. Pat, to you, sir.
Okay. As you know, ending September fiscal year 21, 25% through the year. Revenue is pretty much stayed the same. I want you to know that our local district's money is coming in.
Has there been any indication of what I want to call the Christina District issue a number of years ago? I mean, is anybody not sending
stuff?
They just
preloaded their money today. I just got notice.
Okay.
So, it's coming in. And as of right now, you know, again, it's still going off the May 1st count. This number will change. It hasn't changed yet because usually by this time we've already had our unit count. Unit count starts Thursday. And so that 10-day period will begin. And again, for next month, it will be changed. So, of course, we received 85% of our revenue, which is $3,920,000. Our local funds estimated from school districts is, again, $1,171,000. Now, of course, I say estimated. I can tell you right now that it is still there, but it's a lot higher than that. It's about $150,000 higher than that right now. So, and I put that down, we're basing more. So the current figure is $1,306,000. So that's the number again. That's all, I put that out there. Just keep in mind that's the estimate. And again, the unit count, when it's completed on November 13th, we'll have a better indication where we stand. Of course, the other state funds include our funds from carryover from last year, 90% of our tech block, fiscal year 21 educational sustainment fund grants, 100% of our MCI, and 50% of our educational opportunity grant opportunity funds. And I just put down the figures there for you. And of course, with our transportation funds, we received 83%, which is $372,000 and 281. For a total of, we will receive probably around $448,000. The only downside is that our transportation budget is $570,000.
Right.
Okay, so expenditures, as you can imagine, start of the year, we are running high. Even though we're 25% through the year, our expenditures are at 29.4. This month was pretty low, with 106 compared to last month. We spent $106,000 minus employee costs. And a large portion of that was our transportation funds, which totaled $57,000 this past month. And then other expenditures, educational consultants, instructional supplies, support supplies, office supplies, was equal to $25,000. Building and grounds, $10,545. Of course, utilities, insurance, $5,585.
I'm sorry, real quick.
Yes.
So on the 10545, Reg, is that, are we getting into any of the Brick Doctor stuff and the edging or any of the costs? Is that showing up in this yet?
No, it has not.
Okay. All right. And just so I understand, when we're talking about these expenditures, these are the highlights for this particular month, right?
Only September.
That's right. Only for September.
That's correct.
Right. So, on the 25K for structural supplies and so on and so forth, what's the bulk of that on?
Laptops and Chromebooks.
Still, have we gotten?
We had.
Where
to,
are we on that supply chain issue?
Good. We have 90 of them so far. They've already been issued out.
That's
the
good.
Other 40 will be coming in shortly. We had to order another 20. We just want to make sure that we have the devices available for our cadets.
And how many more did we order? Did you say?
We ordered 90. We have 40 from Dell on a waiting list, and then we have another 20. We ordered these way back in a couple months ago because
yep.
we were worried that we weren't going to have anything. So we were reaching and grabbing everywhere, and they're getting them for us. I did have to start replacing, and when I say replace, got to replace the teachers' laptops. But the first version, which is the one I'm using, is 5 years old. And so what I did is I bought 10 teachers' new laptops, and then I used these, and I kept passing them down. They're still in use, but we're phasing out our old devices that we were having issues with, so they're finally gone.
I'm in Providence Creek. So they're still using our old stuff?
Old stuff, that's correct.
Okay.
We haven't given them anything newer.
All right, cool.
Utilities insurance, still $5,585. I want you to know that our insurance, the reason we haven't seen the payment yet, it is encumbered. The money is already taken out of our budget, but we'll get that checked to them. I double-checked on that from last week.
I was going to say, that insurance, isn't that due like now?
We already gave the PO and everything. We just, you know, it's good. I call them. So.
Okay. Because you know what happens? They don't get the insurance check.
Right.
You ain't covered.
Yes,
okay.
I got it. Of course, advertising was higher. Of course, $3,400 was for induction day.
Yep.
I got to follow up with Kyle Bell. I did follow up with him again. He's a little bit behind on getting us a finished product, so I will reach out to him again.
Thank you.
Of course,
you guys know what we're talking about. The video for induction days that we put on Facebook and all that sort of stuff. The final edited version.
And just fine, just our monthly copier fees and other instructional related services and small things. So that's what we talk about, 106. I do want you to know that you're going to, when I get down to the federal, you're going to start seeing that more money come out of our federal grant, because we're going to start taking the money we've spent for supplies and starting encumbering it into federal money, so that if that state money will come back into our system.
That was the 85 something.
82,155.
Okay. Yep.
So that is part of our grant, and so the federal grant for this year's consolidated grant is estimated. Last year's we still have 106. I want you to know that we put a waiver in, and we are going to be taking that money and reapplying it. I will provide you more information on that. Our fiscal 21 year grant, fiscal 21 grant money is $309,000, and this includes the 82,155 from the CARES Act. So total amount of federal money we have right now is $416,170. Like I said, that's going to start very soon. And again, that's again, as I mentioned before, all the money, the carryover from last year, is not included in
right.
our current budget. So that is $1.2 million. So that's out. The only thing we did include from last year was $47,000 we rolled over.
Cool. All right. Turn around the room, guys. Questions.
Patrick, was there any update on the issue from that you identified last month with that school district that was talking about?
No, I haven't heard anything back, and
they
said they're
going
to look into it, but I didn't hear anything.
What was that? Which one?
It was the one that was going to provide lower funding per student.
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard anything?
We haven't heard anything back, and I don't know if it'll even go anywhere, Jim. It was just a concern brought forth. But that is something that the charter community as a whole is starting to worry about. Because as, you know, more people are out, districts are spending less because, you know, not necessarily doing all these services they do in-house. So the lower per pupil expenditure is going to decrease. But that's something that might be in the future.
Okay. Very well. Yes, sir.
Is there any kind of COVID or CARES Act money that's available to the school for?
So we have that 82. We have not even spent it all yet. It's allocated toward things, mostly cleaning supplies, all the sprayers we got, and other items that we needed for our teachers, you know, to help them do their jobs. Ms. Clark already put in another grant that I'll have her talk to you about. That she you know, would talk with DOE today. That is additional. COVID money that we're going to apply to our thing. So yeah, there's money out there, and DOE is opening up some things that some opportunities for us in that area.
Does that 82 have to be spent by us by December, at the end of December?
No, I thought
it
was
state,
yeah, right.
I don't know how that impacts us.
I, for some reason, I agree with Pat. I don't think so. I don't
okay.
think we've got a suspense on that.
Okay.
There is a suspense on the funds given to the state and a bunch of strings, as we all know, for their money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, once it's been dispersed to the individual schools, which it has, I mean, this has been given to all the schools, it's a formula, I don't think we've got a suspense by December 31.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we're clear on that.
Okay.
Which is good. Cool. All right, anything else, guys? Any other questions on our narrative budget? All right, guys, I don't have any. Pat, you want to do web report? Make sure we get that approved.
Okay, you can see the web report in front of you. All funds revenue, my apologies. $6,662,000. Right now we're tracking with our expenses, our total at $6,145,000. So, you know, it's hard to predict right now because
right.
we still don't have our unit count. So until we have that completed, we won't have a good read on what our funds are at. But like I said, our expenditures were up, but that usually happens at the beginning of school, and you know, we get into a rhythm. And when we did purchase some other things, extra programs and devices for our teachers, and again, some of that will be put into our federal money. And
all right, cool. Anybody seeing any questions on the web report? Right, don't see any. Very well. Do I have a motion to approve the web report?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I got a second?
Second.
I got a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Katie? Thumbs up?
Yes, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right, good.
Pat, did you send this out tonight before the meeting?
I did email it.
Okay.
Yep.
All
right, I'm going to put those over there. All right, we talked about September numbers, preliminary budget, CBOC, 19 November. That's why I guess I have November on my mind. The next CBOC meeting will be in here, 19 November. I am still looking for maybe friends or folks that you may know. Hans, thank you for Mr. Don Cruz, potential member, new member of CBOC. But if you know of somebody in your sort of sphere that would like to join the CBOC, that would be cool. As you know, we only meet every other month, and we just get right into the budget. We don't cover anything else but the budget stuff and do a little deeper dive on the numbers and so on and so forth. That's all I got to report. I'll fill you more in about what we talked about. All right, moving on, we're into the Commandant's report. And Pat, when do you want to take up the discussion on 30% or the phase two plan? Do you want to hit a couple of items on your report? And then if Stacy's got some relevant information to feed into then the discussion on the 33 versus the 50%, I'm open to whether you want to do that.
I can have them go ahead and we can come back and touch it if you want to go through the report. It's up to you, just let me know.
Okay.
I can start off with it, it's not an issue.
All right, so let's do this then. Why don't we cover the Commandant's report, hold the discussion on the phase two. We'll go to Stacy, talk a little bit about that, and then we'll do the 50% discussion, and then we'll finish the rest of the reports. Is that okay, guys? We're moving the agenda around just a little bit. All right, wonderful. Pat? to you under a common option report.
Okay, right now, folks, we have 461 cadets enrolled for the 2021 school year. With our current hybrid plan, we have 129 families that have chosen 100% remote. And that's as of yesterday.
That's pretty good.
That's where we're at. I did put to show you the figures from the survey of our the new hybrid learning plan that I sent out. We have a total of 73% overall that are interested in hybrid. I'll break it down by grade. It's 90% of our freshmen, 71% of our sophomores, 72% of our juniors, and then, of course, our
senioritis has set in, and it's only freaking November.
Is this parents or cadets answering these?
Parents.
Parents.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of it with our senior class. It's coming down to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just where it's at. So, the only thing I put on there about concerns from any families, I only received it on a 33% plan, and the few people that contacted me, their biggest concern, they don't like the rotating days. They understand that if you're only going to go certain days a week, that they would prefer that stays stable.
Right.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yeah,
that.
I guess.
Because, you know, they since this is all going, they've made plans or doing
yep.
things, and now they got to reshuffle every week and look on their calendar, okay, when do we got to do it? That was a concern I got the most. Otherwise, I didn't hear anything.
All right, super. All right, appointments, resignations, anything there?
There's not.
All right.
So, and then I want you to know that Dr. Bunning stopped by.
Yep.
It was a good visit. We took her around, and you know, the cadets were over in Morrell Hall. I think it was Tuesday, and she had some time talking to our cadet leadership. The cadre was over there, and let them know. She got to look at some of the classes, took around all the buildings, met the staff, and you know, just then Ms. Clark and I both sat in the office. We talked with her about the school, what it's all about, and just gave her, you know, the whole picture of who we are, First State Military Academy. It was a good visit. We had a good discussion in my office.
Pat, what was her... Did she have any preconceived notions? I mean, she knew obviously of her, but did she have, did she admit, maybe as a better word for it, any preconceived notions about what the school was or what we're doing up here?
The only thing she asked, she said, okay, so Indian River High School has Marine Corps Junior ROTC. What makes you any different? Well, I said
that's
Dr. Bunning. I didn't go into it, but I just said, in Indian River, that program is a part of the school. Our program drives our school. So he looks at it from a different perspective, different lens. Then she went on to say that when she was principal there, you know, she gave an example of one student that she knew how much he benefited being in that program and what it did. She watched him grow and develop from there. So, you know, we're all like that. And we're just talking about other odds and ends things, but about our school, why we do things, how we do it. And, you know, we gave her the whole picture. So.
Cool. Wonderful. Colonel, you want to hit events and stuff coming up?
Did you want to talk about the first two?
We know about the unit count. PSAT.
Ms. Clark's going to talk about that. I tried to take her off the mute. Okay,
all right.
She's off.
So tell you what, Bob, why don't you hit your stuff and
okay.
whatever's left over.
Sure. The Marine Corps Ball come up on November the 6th. That's
yeah, who's going?
Week from Friday. So
cool.
What?
I'm out of town.
Aww.
I had a great time last year.
I know. All right. Go ahead.
So as of today, we have 225 tickets sold.
What's our max? Isn't that close?
250 is what they advertised. I would prefer to stay below that because this spot's going to be pretty crowded. So 225 is, I'm comfortable with that. And so we're not paying a set fee for the facility. We pay a set fee per head. So we're okay there. we stopped ticket sales today, but we'll continue those for a couple of days. Frankly, our numbers have to be turned in on Thursday.
Okay.
So by Thursday, we will turn in whatever our exact number is to them. And we're doing okay. I did want to ask the board members, of those of you attending, would you like to sit at the head table? Because right now, the head table is not much of a head table.
What, is it me and you holding hands?
Me, yourself, me, Pat, and the guest of honor.
Great.
My wife is coming, but my daughter's coming as well, so I'm not going to make both of them sit at the head table. So they're gone. So there's four of us right now.
Great, bunch of four old white guys. Yeah, I know how that looks. All right, BW, you're up there. Let's do it.
You can hang out with your wife.
I'm
all right. Yeah, I want to sit with Vanessa.
No, you're not leaving me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sitting with her.
Guys.
Four is okay. I'm just letting you know right now. Yeah, I know. Four. It's not your traditional seven or eight or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
If you're at the table, you're having fun. Let's face it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. What about you, Leslie? Where are you sitting?
I'm serious too, Vanessa.
All right. Okay.
I don't want to sit at the head table.
So how we're going to do that when you arrive, just so you know, we're going to have a little for the staff and board members, we're going to have just a little name card, and it'll be available when you come in. So pick that up, take it with you for you and your spouse, and go to the table you want to sit at, just put it on your plate. That's going to be your marker. So I'll let you figure that out when you get there. If you want me to preset your two with my wife and daughter, I can do that. I'll make sure that happens. If that's your request, I'll take care of that. If that is, yes?
I'm confused. Are we sitting at the table or not?
Well, we hadn't gotten to you. I was just looking at those two, and they're not sitting up there.
I can sit up there. That's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just put me wherever.
All right. What about you, Brad?
I'm fine. I can sit up there. Or yeah.
Okay.
Because you're doing the thing with the oldest, the cake thing.
Yeah, you got to be up there. Doesn't he have to be up there if he's doing the oldest?
No, usually we dismiss those and they go to their table on the back.
If we think that looks good, I'm game. I mean, that doesn't matter to me.
All right, so tell you what. Reg, you'll be up with us. You guys, you would sit with his lovely wife and all that sort of stuff. And it'll be five. Old guys.
Okay. Well, plus the guest of honor now.
That's right.
Master Sergeant Jewel Robinson, who has visited our school several times. She's a pretty interesting character. She's Miss Della, Veteran Delmarva. Is that the right title? She has her own business in Dover. She's in the reserves. She's got a pretty interesting career, both on the civilian and military side. So she's that civilian warrior. Pretty interesting person, and her hope is to be a instructor in this school someday. Oh. So she's just not ready to retire yet. She's still an active reservist.
Cool. And who is this again? I don't know if I know.
Her name is Jewel. First name is Jewel. Last name is Robinson. I also thought it was about time we had a female guest of honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Old wonderful. Males up there the last 5 years, so... You were our first guest, so.
Yes, sir.
So anyways, I thought it was a good change.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What's her business in Dover?
She is a financial advisor, I guess, that's how you put it. Yeah. A manager, maybe, an advisor.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, very well. Next, looks like some ASVAB stuff.
ASVAB test is coming up for the junior, or primarily the seniors. We have some open seats we'll give it up to the juniors to let them take. And then we roll into our last comment I have on there is 19 November. The regional director who's been trying to come here for some time is canceled multiple times, most recently the last 6 months. He tried to make her here for induction day as well. He's hoping to get here on the 19th for a couple-hour visit probably on that day.
Do I need to stop by?
I don't think so, Scott. He's going to be here for a few hours, and
okay.
It's going to be a quick visit, quick in and out.
Roger. Good. All right. Pat, open house. Are you going to cover that, Leslie, in your report?
You can start.
Did you want me to go with Stacy?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. Absolutely.
Are you ready?
You're welcome.
So, GSAT 11th grade was October 14th, 10th grade
grade will be on the 29th, and ninth grade will be in the spring. We were given 2 days. Marking period closes at the end of the week, and then we also held college application week, and it is usually a month in the state, and the schools pick a week for the seniors. So that's a little brief. I do want to talk, I kind of mentioned a grant, so yes, there is grant money. It was submitted today. Well, submitted before it was approved today. We are doing several pieces, two of which we have different staff committees. One is grading for equity, because grading is a struggle to do equitably. Another one is a belonging survey. We're collaborating with the University of Pennsylvania on that. And we have a group of staff working together on that, and the survey itself, just to put that out, costs $500. So, but we are doing monthly action research, a team of us from school are. Also the grant paid for some online programs for the teachers to use, Turnitin and Grammarly. And a big chunk of it is for curriculum development. And as you know, we hadn't done that ever until this past summer, and it was phenomenal. And if you were part of the board when we went to renewal, we did not have any curriculum really to bring. And our teachers have worked tirelessly, as they did this summer, and I've mentioned, to build that. So that was great for the grant. And I will say that our science team has submitted stuff to DOE in preparation, just to make sure they have it vetted. And they have done a phenomenal job in all the work that they've done. And two people at DOE who head it and will be part of the renewal whenever we do go back are the ones that are reviewing it for us for science. So I certainly appreciate that. The grant, so the grant is just under $35,000. I think it's 34.9. I can't exactly remember the number. I added a little bit to it today once they said it was approved. I asked if I could add a little bit more for the teachers, so they did. I will say that, you know, DOE gave a lot of positives to us, and the work that has happened in the past 2 years with the instruction piece. So that is because of the teachers and the tireless work that they've done. So I would like to give another shout out to that. And we had, you know, we had some conversations. I know Dr. Bunting was here, and some of the other staff in all divisions, and they've been supportive, and I appreciate that they're looking at the science piece, and that we were approved to do this to help our teachers even more so. It was about $22,000 to help our teachers with curriculum building, to get do some additional work. So it's not on our time and not on the teachers' work time, so it doesn't affect that. It doesn't impact our budget for them. So,
hey, Stacy, real quick. So it looks like the number of grants you've applied for, it's 35K plus 22?
No, that's included in it.
Okay, yeah. So 22, it will be for teacher support on curriculum.
Right, and it'll be on outside of school hours, and that's where that comes in. So the teachers obviously will have to do some volunteering and then get some pay for it, which is what we did this summer. And when they put in all the hours. So, along with that, I will share that for a teacher currently with a virtual model and all of that, they are doing about 6 to 10 hours for a class. And I think that to go on, you know, any comment about understanding the ins and outs of how much work goes into that. And we have several teachers, you know, they teach more than one class. So that's an awful lot of hours. And I know they're very appreciative of that Friday. And I know, you know, Pat and I also agree that they really, really need that that time because of the double work. So in my little chat with teachers, it was about 6 to 10 hours of class.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, so that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, wonderful. All right, so I think...
Thank you, Pat.
Oh, thank you, Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, anything else under academic you want to cover? No? Okay, got it. All right, so back to Commandant's report. Anything else, Colonel Commandant, you guys want to hit on your report? I think we've got, what, November 6th half day and then the back page?
So I just want to bring up that November 6th. Originally on our calendar, we had it as the 13th. And I kind of should have been looking ahead, but because our Fridays have been the way they are for planning for teachers, I wasn't thinking anything of it. Well, I'll talk about it in the plan, but we were shifting our half day from the 13th to the 6th because of the ball, because the ball moved.
Yep.
And then the 13th goes back to a regular full day. So, and I'll talk about how that impacts with the plan. I put it on there, so.
Yep, yep. Okay, and I saw the academics, athletics. Did we win a football game or something?
No, we did. We lost.
Yeah, but it was DMA. Those bastards. We did well. I heard we was 17-something, wasn't it?
45-7.
Oh. Well, at least we scored.
It was close at the half, 12-7 at the half.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. That's what I heard.
The it's the first game, that's a tough one to come out of the gate. No, the Diamond State Athletic Conference originally agreed not to allow spectators. And they've been revisiting this because, of course, as you imagine, the pressure is huge. So we are going to allow spectators at home games. Our home game this Saturday against Concord here at 11 o'clock. If you're around, come on by. The only issue is, and here's where it is, we're responsible. Even though they're adults, we're responsible, and we have to take action if they're not following all the guidance. That is why the original, you know what, no spectators then. So we're going to manage that, but we're only allowing our own families to come. One of the things that we got, the National Federation of High School had a program on there because of everything going on, that they provided you a free camera to install. It's called Pixlet, and it automatically follows the action of the game. You don't need someone manually doing it. So with that, they said it'll be $1,500 to install it. Well, didn't have to do that and pay that either. Larry did it. So it is now up and running, and that's why that tree came down, because it was in the way of the camera.
You thought I wasn't going to notice a big old tree coming down on that corner, and
well,
I was.
We're going to replant. I'm just going to move it down away from the building. But I was getting a little bit worried about that tree, anyways. I mean, they came by before, and they said really all of our trees are pretty bad. We have to do a heavy replanting in the years to come, so that when all of our big ones come down, we have young ones come up and replace them. So,
yeah, I don't disagree, but I noticed that as soon as I turned the corner. I assume then the camera device or whatever it is mounted on the building. Is that why?
That is correct. What has to run in there is it goes through the internet.
All right.
So we have a Cat 6 running up to it. We have a little computer in there that, you know, and then, like I said, it's hands-free. It'll automatically tell it to go, it'll go. And that'll enable families that are at home to watch the game.
All right. Is this going to interfere? We haven't talked about the cabinet. We haven't talked about the painting yet. I assume that's not going to mess up the painting of Morrell and...
No, it's on the aluminum.
Okay.
The aluminum part side.
All right. Cool. All right. Very well. Anything else on that? Okay. Very well. I think if you guys are ready, let's go ahead. Let's get into our discussion of the 50%, 33 and the 50% plan. As you know, guys, here is the doc that we're going to be working off of. I think what we'll do is allow Pat to begin his discussion. What we'll do then is kind of open it up for you all to do. Talk about and so on and so forth, but we will have to take a vote tonight so we can give leadership direction to move forward however we decide to move forward. So with that, I think, Pat, we are to you, sir.
Okay, so beginning talking about this plan about a month ago, and talking about how we wanted to move ahead out of our current schedule, because as you know, our current schedule has currently six of our instructors pretty much teaching 5.5 hours a day with all the cadets. And then we disperse them amongst the teaching staff for the last 2 hours of the day. So, you know, there was some concern with that just because it was unbalanced. And so we're, you know, looking at going into the second quarter with a different plan. So most of the guiding principles are pretty much the same as our previous plan. So if you don't mind, I'm going to skip over them.
Yeah.
Of course, face coverings and hygiene. We require face coverings in school. The only time the cadets take them off is when they're eating. All the rooms we have, the hand washing, the hand sanitizer, all those things, that is emphasized with the cadets.
Pat, just real quick, on the actual cleaning supplies and all, we're in good shape with all that stuff. Is that what's behind you?
Yes.
Okay.
Every month we buy, you know, the canisters, the sanitizing canisters, and the hand sanitizer. I know there has been concern brought up because they're not Clorox. But like I said, these are approved just like Lysol is approved for COVID and things like that, and you know, just until supply gets out there. With the social distancing, I did give you the responding to COVID in schools from the Delaware Health and Social Services. I just want to point out something there, because a lot of times you hear different you know, ways that you should go about it, but they pretty much spell it pretty straight out in this document. And if you look down the middle of the second page, it talks about only close contacts of persons who tested positive will be required to quarantine. And, you know, and that means close, when they talk close, they mean direct. So, and they give examples. If a teacher tests positive but has consistently worn a mask and was not closer than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. Consecutive minutes,
right,
to any of his or her students, then that student do not need the quarantine. If the student tests positive and sat at a desk less than 6 feet apart from another student for more than 15 minutes and did not wear a mask, the student next to that positive case does need the quarantine. So you can see right there that the mask is the big difference maker. Number three, if a student who tested positive sat 3 feet apart from another student for more than 15 minutes but was wearing a mask the whole time, the student next to the positive case would not need the quarantine. And I bring this up only because when cadets move around, you know, people say, well, they're not 3 feet apart. And, you know, to try to, we try to manage it, we give the expectations, we set the standards. But unless you're sticking with a stick between them, they're going to naturally come together. But it states very clearly that it must be longer than 15 minutes. Okay, so, and our class change is only 4 to 5 minutes at most, and we always are addressing them to move apart. And finally, it states that we understand that there will be scenarios where, due to the nature of school activities, staff may be uncertain about whether these protocols were followed. The school nurse and the COVID coordinator should always work with the assigned DPH. And I do want the board to know that, you know, there have been a couple times that I've called the Department of Public Health because I know there was a couple concerns brought up in the school. And so I've called them and I've talked to them and I've asked them, I said, this is what we're doing. And this is how we're doing these things. And they've always given me their blessing. They said, you know, you're correct, you're doing it right. And I always go through our procedures and what we're doing with cleaning. We have the disinfectant sprayers. We're hitting all classrooms and hallways every day, every evening. And they said, that's great. And they told me that, you know, we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing as a school. You know, I want you to know that we've established a routine in the classrooms. When the cadets walk in, they use hand sanitizer, they grab a wipe, they wipe down their area. When they get up to leave, they grab a wipe, they wipe down their area, they use hand sanitizer and go on their way. So, you know, all these things are going on, and you know, that's one nice thing that our marine instructors have done, and they've trained it, because that is now the standard, you know, that we're doing. So I just wanted to go over that part, because sometimes there's some confusion about what actually is the guidelines put forth by the state of Delaware and Department of Public Health.
All right, Pat, how's the staff holding up cleaning-wise on the rooms? We've got additional custodial folks that we've hired to handle some of the, how's that going?
Every 2 hours, like clockwork, he's going around, he's spraying all the bathrooms, he puts a sign on there, of course you gotta wait 10 minutes, he's wiping down all the surfaces, the doors, the handles, and he does it in all three buildings, he hits all the bathrooms. Like I said, it takes about an hour to go around and hit. He does it three times a day.
Okay, super. All right.
So mixing and contact, of course, with the new plan, the cadets will move from class to class, following a planned movement pattern, limit to one direction only. And I should put on it when possible. And cadets, and again, this is where the change comes, because we're going to be having them follow their class schedule. Right now, they are in cohorts. Again, the cadets will follow safety procedures when entering and exiting classroom, which I just described. We try our very best to limit our families and outside visitors from coming in. Of course, we don't have any large-scale gatherings of more than 50 people indoors. Outdoors, of course, is 250, and that's why we're having them sign up for the football game this weekend, because we can't have any more than 250 people.
Pat, would the outside visitors, like, would the suggestion be that they call in advance to say that they're coming, or is there any?
Absolutely. We have them call from the parking lot and have the cadet go out.
Okay.
Not everybody always listens, or sometimes they forget because you're just used to it.
Okay.
So, you know, if I see them, I'll walk out and try to, you know, ask them what they need before they come in. And, of course, we tell the cadets not to share supplies and their Chromebook chargers. Health status hasn't changed, outdoor facilities, ventilation facilities, and of course our buses, what changed right now, we were not putting 23 on there. The state has given guidance that 23 since the beginning of the year was possible. Our buses have, I'm surprised that there's been 13 on a bus so far this school year. So as soon as the bus gets here, we spray it down before it leaves, and then no one goes on it during the day, comes back, picks up the kids, and then the contractor takes care of it at night.
How are the contractors doing with our schedule? Any issues there with their drivers or anything?
No issues whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay, so again, those high touch areas are wiped down, and the drivers do that too. So again, but the buses are being disinfected twice a day. All right, so to get to the basic of the plan, if you want to skip a page, just go straight to the schedule. You know, we were thinking about, you know, trying to place things together, and one of the things we come to realize is every time we've made it complex, it required more work for our staff, and we don't want to do that. So we said, you know what, we're going to go with our normal schedule, and that's what it is. So it's 1-3-5-7 on Monday, 2-4-6-8 on Tuesday, 7-5-3-1 on Wednesday, 8-6-4-2 on Thursday. That has been our schedule since we opened in August 2015. What does that mean? Well, if you are 50% and you are in Group A and it's Monday and Tuesday, you come into school and that's the schedule you follow. If you are not in Group A, you're either remote or Group B, you're at home and you're logging in and you're at the same class. So we wanted to eliminate all this synchronous, asynchronous, all these things. A couple of staff was talking about it's confusing, it's double planning. We just wanted to simplify it, the process, and that's what we've done. And, you know, right now, so the schedule is our normal schedule. The hardest thing for us, we can manage this, will be our lunches. But everything else, I don't foresee will be a major issue. And again, it's you know, I know it was brought up earlier and about cadets in the hallways and stuff like that.
Of course, this is an all hands thing. It's all members. We the staff at First State Military Academy have to take an active effort into ensuring that our protocols are followed. And of course, we need to be there on hall duty. We need to ensure that cadets are socially distanced. We need to do all these things. Can't always just be a few of us because there's not enough of us to go around. So we get everybody on in doing that. That's the most important thing. And it's about keeping constant. And, you know, I know that we brought this forward. You know, we talked about November 2nd. You know, when we talked about this early on, that, you know, November 2nd is the start of the second quarter. And I realize it might seem rushed, but at the same time, I mean, we're asking our staff, and I think they can manage, I believe in them, is that we're asking them to it's pretty much just teach your class.
So, Pat, based on, I've got couple questions. First is, obviously, based on the meetings you've had with the teachers all last week, the small groups I think you were telling me about, last week and the week before, your recommendation is the 50% model, correct?
Based on our numbers, and if you look at it, the way it's broken it down, it's an average of 169 cadets per group. Right now, when we have our ninth graders coming in, you're almost doing close to 120.
Right.
So if we went to 33, then we're averaging 111 a day, which is less than we're automatically already bringing in. So that's
We also know from the survey that moms and dads for our freshmen are hot on this particular issue. They're attending, and they want their kids to be in the building.
We have that, you know, it's, you know, the biggest concern we had, I'll be honest, is, and it was brought up, our classrooms. We went through every class list, whether the cadet is A, B, or remote. I've identified 8 classes. And we might have to shuffle probably about, I estimate 6. We'll have to shuffle. We might have to ask teachers to move, you know, just temporary to as we go through this. But we are going to have an overflow room. And, you know, if I look at my classrooms in Drexel Hall and I can only get 3 feet and I can get 13 cadets in a classroom at 3 feet apart or more, well, if a 14 cadet happens to show up for that period, of course, I can't just stuff him in the room, him or her, excuse me. And so we'll have to have an overflow room. I do know that substitutes was an issue. It is an issue. I'll be honest with you. I put it in here that, you know, we're going to have a duty roster for non-teaching personnel. And so this effort is really going to take, it is going to require all of us. You know, unfortunately, to step in the classroom more than we usually have to. So it's going to be a lot more work on us.
So if you were in an overflow and you went to a room, you would participate like you were online at home. Is
correct.
That the experience? Okay.
For that class only.
For that class only, yeah. Right.
Yes.
Got it.
And I assume this room would be used potentially as overflow as well?
This room will be used for overflow.
Definitely. Okay. Cool. All right. Anything else, Pat, on the 50% model that you are supporting? Let me then whip around the room. Let me see if there are any initial questions from the folks. Hans, go ahead, please.
I think it's a great plan, and it sounds like, you know, we're following all the CDC guidelines and all the state Delaware Health and Social Services. We have the mission, which that's an integral part, is getting the kids back in the classroom. My only question is, we also have morale of the staff. Does that date, do you feel it has to be coincident with the beginning of the second marker period? You know what I mean? Like, does it matter? Like, if it was 2 weeks later, just asking.
Well, the only thing is my concern is, when we put it off, then we're putting it on somebody else. That is my biggest concern. Because technically right now, we're asking our Marine instructors to do most of the stuff. And there's got to come a point where we all come together.
Oh, I agree. Yes. A point.
But that's my only issue. I know I can understand the plan as it is just working now. Mm-hmm. But you know, one of the
let me just add to that, Pat, about our plan working now. I don't disagree that the logistics and sort of the movement and kind of the framework under which the school is operating is working. Right, you guys know where I've been in this entire episode, and I am not pleased with online learning. I think it has left and is not, it's barely a substitute for engaging our kids. I really don't like it. I think we are leaving a whole bunch of our cadets behind. And you guys remember, I mean, this school is so much more than just showing up and grinding through the day. It just has never, ever been that. And unfortunately, the longer we separate our kids from who and what we are, so I just wanted to take a little issue, because this online learning, it's filling a gap, but man, it's not getting it done. And I'm growing ever concerned, just for our school, but our whole state, about how long so many of our kids have been out of the classroom. And, well, you guys know, as I've said, I want our kids in the building as fast as we can get them, as many as we can get them, because that, I think, is important. So, anyway, Pat, I wanted to sort of throw in on that. You guys have done a hell of a job, quite frankly, on managing this entire process. I mean, there's no question. We were out front first. We've been out front. We have exceeded the state requirements. You know, some of these traditional schools, I shan't say another word, but you and the team have done just a fantastic job. But anyway, all right, sorry.
Hans, back to your question on morale. Yeah, it is a concern. You know, that's why, you know, with this plan, they get their normal planning during the week, and then we're giving them Friday. We're going to do some PD, maybe B, but majority of it is so they can get their planning done. And you know, all this extra stuff that we ask them, that we give them time. You know, I, unless I'm missing something, you know, I don't know.
I'm not doubting whether we should return. I'm just like, does a week or two make a difference to me? I mean, this is a pretty extenuating, crazy year. And I know we need to get everybody back, but I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me kind of whip around the room. Len, anything striking your fancy?
Well, I was telling you earlier, I have a son who's in high school at the Epic Quinnum making. He's doing the online, and it's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if you can find a way to have your students in there, they're going to get better learning experience, they're going to get a better cultural experience, and you can always mitigate the health risks. As some of the teachers said, they're concerned about that, but if you're doing all the right protocols, have you had anybody get sick yet?
We had one cadet test positive that did not come from the school. So that cadet got it from the parent that brought it home from work, and that cadet was actually the day they figured that evening that she came home from school, and that cadet did not report the next week.
So it worked.
So
they stayed home.
It was 6 days. DPA said we don't go further than two. And so because we contacted them, and they just said that.
Has that cadet returned to school wise soon?
Yes.
Cool. All right.
I just think with the online, like my son says, oh, it's so easy. He's not getting, if something's hard, they just lower the standard to make it easier. So I'm in favor of more people in school.
All right.
Mine was just more of a staff.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So. Pat, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rich.
I don't know if we need to do this or not. I mean, do we need to executive session, and are there, is there discussion? Do we have staff that are high risk for some reason, or if there are, has that been identified, and is there any type of accommodation or anything like that? I don't know where
we're at. So as part of the CARES Act, there are guidelines out there for the employees that protect them. We gave that out to them in July, and you know, we did talk to them that, you know, their program, especially with child care issues and stuff like that, that, you know, it does cover them for a 12-week period of time, that there's different personal things for them to protect them and help them out the best we can.
I was more looking at possible underlying health condition, that type of.
So that would become, that would be something different. And if they go to a doctor and say that they can't work in this environment, where they're wearing a mask, where they're health risk, then they get accommodations, and then it changes. Then they can get permission to work from home.
But we don't have any of that right now.
We do. But that has to be physician approved.
So as I understand, I think it's one instructor, one of our teachers. We have two. Okay, so two teachers that have been given accommodation based on medical requirements. And the answer to the question is yes. I think we've accommodated. I think we're in a good spot with that. Now, when we change this plan, that's all going to get, again, reevaluated. Those instructors will have to get back with Pat and see whether they can or will not, or will meet the new schedule. We'll see how that rolls out. But I don't have an answer to that question for what happens next with those two instructors.
I guess what I'm more concerned about, I'm all for get the kids back in school. Are we going to have an issue? Is there going to be more? That all of a sudden then we do have an issue with?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I think I kind of look at it this way. That as this goes forward, and if we do in fact vote to support phase two at the 50%, there are going to be adjustments, just like we made when we opened in September. There are going to be things made on the fly, and there are going to be adjustments made. I will say this. For example, if our parents decide that this is not working, and for whatever reason, we start getting a bunch of complaints from moms and dads because what we're putting in place has messed up their home life, or the schedule's not working, or we actually come up with a lot of folks that get COVID and test positive, right? We can adjust. We will adjust, and I know that's a little frightening for some. They want everything in place now, set. I would argue that we're fast enough, nimble enough, we can adjust on the fly. And quite frankly, I suspect we're going to survey our parents a month in and say, all right, guys, we've been doing this for a month. We're on, again, assuming the 50% gets approved, we're on a 50% schedule. How's it going? Yes, no, do you like it? Maybe we continue to hear from moms and dads, and they say, you know what? This is good. Let's go as far as we can go. Let's get them all back in and do it faster than we can. I don't know, but I have a lot of confidence that our senior leadership and our teachers are going to be able to adjust pretty quick if things go awry. Bob, I did want to ask where you are. Any additional comments from you, sir?
I guess I'd shape them in really just three ways. One, when we started this, what we're doing right now, it has worked out really well. So that was a great idea, I think, by Pat and Stacy that came up with what we're currently executing. And it was a big load for the Marine instructors. The first 6 weeks, we were working a lot. We're kind of up on keel now. I mentioned it to Pat, and we kind of got it figured out. A good percentage of that was because we were learning ECHO
And he was on and on for 5 years. But we were, briefing the final product in the morning, working the next day's product in the afternoon, so that there was, but it worked out well. Yeah, it really did. And I surveyed the cadets a couple of times, how the cohort plan in the afternoon was working, and almost to a cadet that raised their hand said, yes, it's valuable. So the current plan was working as intended. And when I asked them about, would they like to be back in school more, and I went around to all the classes, minus the seniors, I don't know why I was just thinking about this, but I missed the senior class on this. They all said, again, probably three quarters or above in every class, cadets could raise their hand that one, they want to be in school more often, they want to see their teachers, the workload, it's a lot. And so that's primarily coming from the freshmen. They were heads up more than anybody, which I expected because where they come from, I suspect they're not working them very hard. Now they come here and the intensity level is up, certainly. But most of the other students also raise their hands, and it's not that the work is very difficult, it's just a lot. And to be in front of the teacher would be helpful. Then lastly, when you're at home, are you bothered by things at home? Are you distracted by things at home? Do you have other things to do? And I was surprised that nobody raised their hand. The moms and dads are giving them stuff to do, they take care of their siblings. It's just, there's all kinds of other distractions at home that are keeping them from doing their work when they're supposed to be synchronous or asynchronous anyway. So, just to solidify the idea that they need to be in school, yes, I agree with that. The unknown for us right now is, yes, we've been teaching the kids in class, but now we have to teach kids in class and do the online piece at the same time. And I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to run into there. There's going to be some hiccups, I'm sure, but we'll figure it out. That's just what we do. We figure it out when we want. I can't speak for the teachers because now they're kind of in the opposite seat. They've been teaching a lot online, but now we've got to add kids to the class and teach. So, different animal. But they've been working hard at it as well. So, yeah, I don't know if that's helpful. But
okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Members of the board, any other?
Yes, I did have a question. So, the ones who chose remote before, the 129, are they still have the option of still staying remote during this? Or is that?
Yeah, we're about 123.
Okay.
That are remote now.
Okay.
For the new plan.
Oh, for the new plan. Yeah. So originally, right now, right before, it was 129 chosen remote, and then when you did the survey, 123 said they wanted to stay remote. So that's they will stay remote, and we'll go. The other folks will go the 50 or the 33. That's.
But one of the other concerns happening right now, Leslie, and Colonel Wallace can verify that, is even though say we have 70 that are supposed to report. Like their day in,
right.
We're not coming close to that number.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So what is well?
Because the way the plan is now, when they're in, they're missing some of their core classes that they have to make up in the afternoon, and since they got all this work coming up for the end of the quarter, well, that was always the issue with it from the very beginning, and that's why the current plan that is just one flaw. So it's that when they come into class, the old plan again, for their classes here, they're actually missing their synchronous classes that are happening live.
Right.
Okay. All right. I got it. Hans?
So, I mean, we could all agree. Like I said, I'm just about the day. You don't think a week or two to set a date that's a week further out would help is really beneficial to the staff to get all that ready?
So I guess the question would be, what do we need to get ready?
I know several teachers. They work their butts off on syllabi and all that. I mean, I'm not a teacher. I know teachers work really hard. The guy said, we're not ready. We need some time to plan. But if they're just teaching like they did all last year, then they have it all ready.
No, I understand. And there is that. We started.
I'm not
talking
saying
about this,
like wait till the next meeting. I'm just
but
saying
we started talking about this 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
That is coming out. It's just getting approved.
Right.
Will get approved or disapproved tonight.
Sure.
So, you know, it's coming, and it's just, that's why we simplified the schedule to, you know, and trust me, I'm not, it's not that I don't understand. I mean, I spent 17 and a half years in a classroom myself. So, you know, I do get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, usually at the start of the second quarter is a clean break. It's a fresh start, and then, you know, you go anew. So, again, those factors in there, plus we're going back to our schedule. I guess I would have to know, you know, and I met with all the staff. Nobody brought up a concern. They said, yeah, we should wait. And I'd say, well, okay, why? Right. Why were we waiting? And I really think when it comes down to it, again, it's the change thing. And the stress of all this whole environment, and I understand that with the morale, but I think some of it was just the wait. Our teachers are great. They can handle. They can do these. They know their jobs and they do them well. And so, I just if I could get a pinpoint reason why the wait, and I understand there's all the other factors outside out there, but. I don't know.
All right. Any, Kev, anything, BW? I'm sorry, Kevin. Yes, sir.
I did speak with Larry the other day, and the way they are handling the sanitation and the cleaning, I mean, they're not missing anything. And you know, all of the preparation, the kids before they come in and you know, washing their hands, you know, a lot and coming in. There's, even at the hospitals, the nurses that take care of COVID patients every day, and they're not catching COVID because they're doing proper procedures just as we're doing here. I mean, it all is about the preparation. And as long as and we're doing it, if they do it at home, we won't have any issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
PW.
I mean, I think if we just take a step back, this isn't unique to us. And it's funny, I wrote the word nimble down before you said it, because that's what charter schools are supposed to be, and that's a blessing that we have, is that we are smaller and we can adjust more. I mean, I don't know how some of the districts are doing it, but every school board's dealing with this now, every teacher is dealing with this, every parent, and we're just trying to make the best decision that we can. I know we spoke earlier, I agree with bringing kids in as much as possible, and I'll support that.
All right, super. All right, guys. Jim, I did not hear from you, boss. Not that you need to.
So the school population base on any given day is going to be what, about 170, 180 people, 180 cadets?
That's correct.
And busing won't be an issue with 180?
No, our plan starts with busing. So we built the two groups.
Based off
by
the way they
our
are.
Buses, okay. And so we just cut them in half, and so no matter what, I'll say this right now, if every of our cadets decide to come in, we wouldn't have an issue on busing. On the groups, we'd have an issue inside the building. That is something down the road that, you know, that's what we told parents, this is, you got to choose, you can't just come and go as you please. Yes, that would have been an issue.
You know, and that is an important component of this, again, is our the engagement of moms and dads about staying to the program, right? I can almost hear moms and dads who selected Total Online going, hey, I want to go. And all of a sudden, we've got 15, 20 or more who decided they don't want to do 100% online and they want to show up. So that's a wonderful problem, but that actually does get to Pat's issue about size.
And that one's where we'd have to drop back to 33 or something like that. It did occur, even though we said that you can't, you know, they'd throw them on the bus, there's not much we can do. But the thing about it is that, you know, that is an issue. I do worry about that. Again, I think our families have been wonderful. You know, and they've been pretty good about it. The remote from previous to this are pretty similar. There's not a big change. It's the same cadets. Our freshmen are motivated. More and more of them are choosing in person than anybody. So,
I think someone's hand might be up. Is Katie's hand up in the chat? Board members, hand up in the Zoom.
What, did you just get text or something? Oh, okay, I did not know.
Maybe not.
Oh, it is, yes. Why, I don't know.
All right, so it's Katie.
So I just had a question. So I know there were two staff members who were out. Again, I know I said this earlier, but if we don't have any substitutes for the two teachers who already off the bat can't be teaching in person, who's going to be covering their classes? Because I'm assuming their cadets aren't going to all go into the overflow room.
So that's why we're going to have a duty roster of non-teaching personnel. We're going to have to rotate in. It's not ideal, Katie, but I don't know what to say. If the staff members are going to choose not to come in, then I don't know. Then we just shut down. I don't know. I don't know what you're asking, really.
Did she go on mute?
No, I didn't put her on.
Yeah, she's muted.
She's doing it herself.
Oh, that issue, Pat, maybe there might be, as part of our steps going forward and this nimbleness, is to continue to explore, whether we can expand the substitute pool. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but build some depth within that that area, and maybe by the next board we'd have a little update on where we are with substitutes and see whether we are able to add a couple of folks or one more to bring a little depth to that that issue.
It's been posted, Scott. We've reached out to the universities.
It's a tough market.
Yes.
It is a tough market, no question about it.
I think that kind of like one of our board members says, it's all about preparation, and we need to prepare for what happens when teachers come, like, as going out. Sorry.
No, Katie, I do understand that, but could I ask you a question? Could you help me then give a solution?
Yeah.
Because we have
to hire more. We have to hire other staff, or I think the solution is to keep the current model just for the time being until we can find substitutes. Because I want to have the cadets back in the school. I want us to move forward, but I don't want us to make one step forward and then two steps back. So until we find substitutes, I think that we really need to just not put on hold indefinitely, but I think for the next couple of weeks, because it's not fair to students who have those teachers to ask them to basically not be in class with them, and then to have the non-teaching staff. I think I'm also wondering, when you say non-teaching staff, are you talking about our special ed staff? Because in the past...
No, Katie, I'm talking about me. And I'm talking about Stacy Clark. I'm talking about April Murray. I'm talking about Blair Newman. I've already said November 2nd, I'm going to spend the day in class. That is already a given. No, that is not our goal. And we are going to do everything possible going forward. And to make this work.
Pat, if I may. Katie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So one of the questions that begs, right, is that if we delay based on the very fact of getting a substitute or a number of substitute teachers, what if we can't find any? That if, in fact, we've been advertising and looking, and we don't get any, and it's now a week, or potentially 2, 3, 4 weeks, and we still have no response to plussing that up, we've now in my opinion, we've now lost 4 weeks of, quite frankly, our kids being in the building. I think we can do this right on a parallel track, that I think we move forward, but given the interest in finding a substitute teacher, we've talked about it. I don't think that's going to drop off y'all's sort of things to do, but I would certainly hate for us to delay, hold, based on something we actually really can't control. We have no sense of really what the market looks like as it relates to a substitute teacher or two or three. And I would, in that mode, I say we gotta go and we keep working on that particular issue. That's where I am. Understood, absolutely.
I know that from just talking to the teachers this fall and from last spring, they've been working really hard. And this is, you know, if we can make anything easier for them, I think that we have an obligation to do that because, you know, we want the cooperation of our cadets, we want the cooperation of our parents, we need the cooperation of our teachers. You know, if we have a couple of cadets who aren't following the rules, who aren't doing what they're supposed to, as a school, we can still keep the culture, we can still do what we need to do. If the staff is getting too burnt out, losing morale, or not able to do what they're supposed to do, you know, then we really have to start moving back.
Okay, I think I lost the last little bit, but I understand, absolutely understand where you're coming from.
Can I just have one thing?
Yeah,
please. I think if you've communicated to families that you're going to do this November 2nd, I don't think you can delay it once they're going to have to make schedules around that.
Now, that's a very good point, because they're starting to build their schedules.
You have to bite the bullet and do what you got to do. And like you said, Barry used the word nimble. If we do the shuffle and make it work, these guys are good at it. I think they'll make it work.
Okay. All right. I think we've gone about. I'm looking around to see if any other additional comments. Seeing none, I'm going to ask for a motion to accept Phase 2, 50% hybrid model to begin effective on the date selected by the Commandant. I will caveat that if the Commandant so chooses and senior leadership want to adjust, absolutely. I'll defer to them to the actual start date, but no earlier than November 2, I think. So that was a roundabout way of saying, do I have a motion?
November 3rd.
November 3rd, thank you. All right, go ahead. Give me the motion.
I make the motion that we accept the recommendation and we start the phase two with 50%, the 50% schedule. And I believe it's November 3rd, is that correct?
November 2nd.
We close November.
Yeah.
All right, I'm writing. Or later.
Yeah, at the discretion of the Commandant.
Right. Or is the motion maker okay with that?
Yeah, my discussion on that would simply be, why are we doing that?
Give him
flexibility, if he so chooses. Chose. Dank on it. Anyway,
it just puts a lot on his shoulders then, because then everybody's looking at him and everybody's going to try and get him to say, the people that don't want it to happen are going to try and get him and put pressure on him.
Well, that's
pressure should
that's
be
a very valid
us.
Point.
I don't want that as a
part of my motion.
All right, so the motion maker does not like the amending language. Does the maker of the amending language, he's jiggy, got it. So the motion is phase two 50% schedule to begin November 2nd. Anything else? Nope?
That's it.
All right, I've got a motion. Do I have a second to the motion?
Second.
I have a second. Wonderful. Any discussion on the motion presented? All in All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Pat? I'm looking specifically if Katie is opposing, abstaining, or voting in favor of.
Sorry, I oppose.
Opposed. Got it. Okay. Very well. Thank you for the debate. Thank you, folks online. Katie, thank you for your comments. And as I said to the comment made by Verity, I think we can move forward, and I think we're going to be nimble enough to get this done. And if we got to adjust, we'll adjust. Very well, guys. Back onto the agenda. We're going to do communications and facilities, and then we are going to wrap it up. So to you, Ms. Leslie.
Okay. So I met, Len and I came in and met with Pat and Dan and the Colonel a couple of weeks ago to talk about the open house and, you know, kind of combining some efforts. So based on that, we did work on the update to the snapshot, which I need to get with.
Can I get that, please?
No. I need to get, I'm assuming Patty got this uploaded on the page, but it looks really, it like pops up when you open it, like kind of weirdly. So we'll.
That's the way it does. That's so people can sign up for the open house.
Okay. All right. It's just my concern is visually, I read the snapshot, but the open house is at the top, but I don't know that I'm like, my eye is going to the open house. So we can talk about it.
I don't know if I could. Do anything and change it.
Okay, that's fine. So, yeah, I'll get you the snapshot. One of the things we added to it, you'll see when you see it online, is the three-time naval honors information at the bottom of it to indicate that, you know, the opportunity to nominate candidates for service academies. So, yep. We wanted to make sure that was something that, yes. Though not necessarily a snapshot of the, you know, senior class, is just something obviously we want to promote. And then I know I had sent Pat you some updates to the other side of it so that we can get the mailer out for the open house. So that's the mailer portion of it. I will get you, Scott,
and you
the electronic.
You guys all know, why don't we just, would you talk about the open house a little bit and how it's just.
It's November 14th. I know, you know, Pat has more of the details.
Right. So we met with the videographer, and we're coming up with a storyboard and how we're going to do it. We're looking at about, he's going to do a lot of filming, but we're going to make it about 10 or 12 minute video. And then we're also going to cut it down with people talking and different things like that.
All right, and as I understand it, we're here on campus. It's 1 to 4 on that Saturday, 14 November. What is my role?
So the families are going to come in here.
Here.
We're getting them folders with all the information about their school, you know, all the stuff. And, of course, you get to talk and welcome them. And then when our group gets ready, we're going to have cadets escort. We got a path around the school they go through and small little introductions to each of the different departments. Meet the teachers. They get to see the school. The cadets can tell about it. And then they just make their way around campus. They do morale last, and then they make way back to the parking. That way we can keep it. The rotation going.
And is the expectation that four or five families or three families, whatever it is, first out the door, then another three or four out the door, that kind of thing?
They're signing up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's time.
Roger.
That's why I have that on the website. I put the link up there so they can sign up for the open house.
All right, cool. So certainly, guys, once again, there's an opportunity first up at 1 o'clock for those who are around, want to be with me, and I'll do the introduction. It sounds like I'll just change my discussion a little bit, but same sort of thing, Pat, as it relates to my speechifying?
We'll be more informal.
Okay.
Are we planning to video his speech?
No.
Well, we'll do a segment. We're going to have, while he's here, that's what he's going to have to do. So you can plan a little the verbiage, so he'll film you talking about the school, because then it'll be in the video. Just a portion of it.
So the idea is, out of the open house,
we
we'll have
to do that.
Yes,
we're going to put a video,
yes,
so that when it's on our website, people will learn about our school.
All
they can always come back to the video. That's why we're probably going to do it outside for some of the people. Hopefully, it's not freezing.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is we don't want the mass to become
right, because you can't see anybody. You don't get that connection.
Well, then you always know when it happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good point.
Well, that was Dan Bates. I can't think of
it. All right, that's
yeah.
your point.
Yeah. Well, because as we talked about, we have video of induction day, but it's not induction day, and it's masks, and, you know, graduation is masks. So, you know, obviously we create these things. We don't want to have
right,
masks be,
right,
yeah. Yeah, so it's a history, you know, that we're going to have and obviously use, and certainly we'll use it most during this time when we can't maybe get people on campus as much as possible. But I think it's a great idea to have it, something as legacy, to you know, take it as a video clip to send to people who want to learn about the school, who maybe can't come here and things like that. So we also talked about getting parents and cadets to do kind of testimonials. So I've reached out to a couple of parents, and they're you know, they're writing things. We didn't talk about whether we wanted to video them. I asked them if they were open to it. They said they probably would. So we can talk about if we want to do that. And getting like past cadets in, or you know, what kind of range of cadets do we want to have come in? Talk about, like, I, you know, I didn't like it when I started here, but by the end, it really shaped me, or, you know, and making sure we have a really good, diverse population of people who took a different path. You know, obviously,
yeah,
we don't want it too focused on military at the end.
Right.
We need to have a good representation of the end, as well as diversity and people, you know, male, female, and race and things. So I think it really could be powerful for the school.
Good.
You know, so I think we would take them and do videos, but then we'd also do them and transcribe them in written form, so we could use them also as walk around documents.
That's right. Leave behinds and stuff like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Pat wrote it. I think you said maybe Katie helped you with a great history of the school. Is that going to be in the packet, or are you going to put
that?
We
were, yes.
Okay,
did you great. Guys, did you like that story?
Yes,
you know,
thought that was really good.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I did like it. Mm-hmm. That was well done. I actually know what he's talking about. He is correct. I did not actually respond and say, yes, I liked it. I did. That was a good story.
Yeah.
I'll
share with the rest of the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys ought to see this. It's about the sisters and the names of how we've got Drexel Hall and St. Joe's and all that. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe we'll write up something about the other thing that you've got going on here, Pat, with the Clayton Historical Society. Aren't they coming in?
Or you want to know about that now?
Yeah.
You seriously want to
know about that? I don't
know. About what?
Do you want me to wait till the end to go over that?
Yes.
Okay.
I did not. You know what I'm talking about now? our friends that. Remember how I talked about paranormal? Stop the paranormals? All right, he's going to talk about that later. All right.
Good. That's it.
That's it there. All right, let's go to facilities. Reg, Kevin, thank you guys. Great. I saw the two walkways. They're pretty cool. I like them. Reg, fill me in. What's going on?
Well, Kevin got up here and got the excavate done on that. And then actually some stuff got juggled around, and there was only supposed to be one or two guys show up, and ended up he had four or five guys up here to get it done because they got to move from another job. But anyway, to make a long story short, it was going to continue and keep right on going, and then something else changed, and he had to pull them back out. So we got the first two done. I think they look good. I think it was Leslie who mentioned about a press release and stuff. I want to hold off until I get up. Actually, I've been trying to get in touch with Eric Long. He's been out of town and out of the country and back, and but I'd like to really talk to him before we do something like
no
that.
No problem at all.
And
yeah.
I'm going to invite him to come down whenever we start the next phase and have like that
ribbon cutting, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, not a ribbon cutting, but like a groundbreaking thing or something. Or
mm-hmm.
Actually, for him, it would probably be, if we get it ready, have him, he can put a couple of papers down or something. And
whatever
yeah.
he wants to
but
do.
We'll get some stuff, yeah. And it's moving forward. Finally got it off the ground. I'm tickled to death because I was beginning to wonder. Is this about a year?
Yeah, it is.
Since we were going to get it started. So finally got it going, and you know, they work pretty good. It tears up some stuff a little bit. You got to break eggs to make that cake, but.
Well, it looks like Larry is already smoothed out and thrown some dirt in and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So it looks like.
And we had a broken drainage pipe in front of the one.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that. So what happened?
Well, when all the downspouts tied together originally went into the pipe, right under the pad, under the door, there was no dirt because the gap in the pipe was that big and it just kept pumping out right there. And eventually it would have caused a lot of damage, but that's all fixed.
Well, obviously that's why they were getting water in that crawl space area there. That's probably why. So it probably took care of that problem.
All right, good.
The only downside to it is they had to dig down about 3 feet. And it was kind of backfilled in.
Yeah.
We're getting some settlement?
Hopefully not. I had them do some extra compaction around those areas, and, you know, hopefully not.
Okay.
But other than that, and you know, they did a pretty good job of cleaning up. And then I brought a rake up that Larry, I left it here for Larry to use on his little bobcat thing. So that's what he used to kind of
smooth it out,
everything back out. But I don't know when we're going to get the next piece going, but as soon as he can break people free, he will, because he wants to get it done just as much as...
Reggie, you must let us know about sort of time and material, billing,
yeah,
you know, any of that sort of stuff.
I can give to Jim, because I had to run in the midst of it, and they were short on some of the spikes. I just went to the hardware store here and bought a box. So it was,
yeah, make sure.
$75 or something.
Please.
But, eventually, I guess, Jason... I'll have to get up with him and make sure he gets something to you guys for that original money that I talked about for edge and spikes and all that kind of stuff.
And we never ever got
these. Don't say a word.
I won't say another word.
Just leave it alone. I'm leave it alone. And
okay. All right.
And the other thing I did get was the painting prices for St. Michael's and Morrell. And of course, the buildings have a lot of different woodwork on them, but. We can get St. Michael's painted for $2,500 for all the outside painting, and $3,500 for Morrell. So, for all that includes paint and labor. So,
all right,
who's that from?
Martinez.
All right, so I'm going to defer, Kev, if you will coordinate with Reg and Pat, because I know Snow's threw in a bid that was pretty good. But I can't remember what all the bids are. So, Reg, I'll leave that to you and Pat. Pick the right guy. Let us know. But it's all under, it sounds like it's all going to be under, what, $5,000-$7,000, somewhere around there? Okay.
You know, we have some that were actually a lot more, but some were up.
Yeah, those are the guys.
All right, let's do this. How about if we make a motion not to exceed $7,500 for the painting, and that maybe captures enough of the quotes, and I'll let you guys pull the trigger and get it started when you want. Does that work? Reg?
Yep.
Okay. Can I have a motion for painting not to exceed $7,500 for Morrell and St. Michael's? Exterior, this is wood. No, I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but we got a bunch of white paint and crap that's starting to come off the buildings. To approve up to $7,500 for a painting contract.
Motion.
All right, I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Discussion.
So can you enlighten me as to what we're talking about? I mean, until you said that, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Oh,
maybe I'm behind them.
Nope. So a little bit ago, I made a comment about both Morrell and St. Michael's with the trim and the wood pillars and so on and so forth. And the paint's coming off, particularly around the doors. And we've also had a number of doors that have been replaced. So I looked at those two, and I said, hey, man, why don't we think about getting a bid for painting on those two buildings? We have at least three separate bids, maybe four now. And a couple of them, as Reg had said, when he got them, were really very expensive, $10,000 or $12,000, $13,000.
One was 18.
18, that's right. One was 18. The others are pretty competitive, and Snow's was pretty competitive, so I'm seeking a motion to authorize Reg, Kevin, and Pat to pull the trigger on a painting contract not to exceed $7,500.
All right, so exterior painting, you're wanting into weather that's now starting to turn a little colder, is that still viable at this point in time?
I think it is yet for a little while, and it's, and again, that's their forte. So we're relying on their professionality if the weather conditions don't permit it, I'm sure they won't do it.
And then is this coming out of the school's account versus the board's account? Since it's $7,500 exceeds the board's account by $1,100.
Yes, but who's counting? He is. So that's why they're going to talk to Mr. Commandant over there and see if he is going to cover it out of the school's operating budget. If not, let me know, and I'll cover the difference. All right? So you let me know, and I'll just cover the difference, whatever it is, if we have to pull it out of the school or out of the board account. All right? So let me know. No big deal. All right. Anything else? Okay, cool. All right, very well. So we've got a motion. I got a second. We had discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. Is she there? Bob, can you?
Who?
Katie.
On Zoom. You can tell if she's voted.
Let us know if she's thumbs up.
Yes, she's thumbs up. Sorry.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Complain, Pat.
All right, great. Last item under facilities. So I had a conversation with Kevin. Here's kind of the latest timeline, guys. I think that based on what I'm trying to get done as to a donation to the school to support the construction, actually demo, parking lot construction, the maintenance building and all, timeline's moving a little bit. There are probably two things we got to look at. First is probably not till the winter that we're going to really get earnest on doing what we got to do here. So the sequence of events is going to go kind of like this, I think. Kev, you throw in when you're ready. We burn that down, We put two pods over by the garage. Larry transfers all his stuff into that. We burn that down, fill the hole in. We build the maintenance shed, and then we build the parking lot. That, I think, is the general sequence of the events. Is that it?
It is.
Okay. So I'm still working on, quite frankly, some corporate issues, where this money's coming from to get it so it can be donated. But that's going to be part of, hopefully, the process of getting some things started with the farmhouse and the parking lot and all that sort of stuff. All that to say, I guess we're looking at another month or so before we really get in earnest about doing that. Kevin, any additional thoughts?
Now, we'll just pre-plan with the fire company for when they think their best timing is as well.
Right. Yep. So, haven't forgotten about it. It's still there. Just, it's slowed down a little bit. All right, cool. Anything else under facilities, Kevin? All right, guys. I don't think I've got anything under organizational issues. I don't think there's anything else that I've got, quite frankly, on my agenda. Again, note 2020, and I've already started posting 2021. For your consideration, so start plugging them in. And with that, I'm going to whip around the room. I'll start on Zoom. Closing comments, Katie, and then Stacy.
Going forward, and I hope that we're successful.
We will be.
Stacy?
I'm going to refrain. Thank you. I have nothing. Thank you.
Okay, very well. Let me whip around.
I'm good.
Jim?
Liz?
Good.
Good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Roger?
Good.
Very well. Thank you all again for your support and dedication to this school, our teachers. I know it's tough. I know this thing is it's driving a lot of people crazy, but man, that's what we do. We drive on. Mm-hmm. So with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? We are adjourned.